Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, May 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. It's our computer show today, and we welcome back Tony Yang of Albany-based Gig Computers to answer your questions. Maybe you got a USB hub that's not firing up, or your printer isn't talking to the main computer, or the motherboard is going balky, whatever. If you have a computer question, software, hardware, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here to help you answer your computer questions. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll try to get to as many emails as we can. But again, the number and the lines are open now, 800-348-2551. Tony Yang and computers coming up. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's computer show day today, and Tony Yang from Gig Computers is back with us. Tony started Gig in 1996 while studying at SUNY Albany, and the company began as a hobby, quickly bloomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for many companies and organizations, including this one. And it's always great to have Tony Yang on to help figure out what's wrong with our computers. Tony Yang, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray. Great to be back again.
You know, before the show, I said, what's new? And you said, shh, don't jinx it. Everything's been very quiet.
That's right. Keep it quiet.
All right, man. We'll just go to the phones. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you have a vexing computer issue you'd like Tony to have a whack at, 800-348-2551. We'll start it out with Jordan and Niskayuna. Jordan, you're first.
Hello. First I want to say I love the show.
Thank you.
I have a motherboard. It has some couple of bent pins on it because I know the certain motherboards, the CPUs either on the pins are on the CPU or the pins are on the motherboard. Mine's on the motherboard. It has like 3 or 4 bent pins. Should I try to attempt bending them back with tweezers, or should I take them in to get them bent?
Hey, Jordan. Just make sure you disconnect the power cord.
That's a good plan.
And press the after you disconnect the power cord. This is important. After you disconnect the power cord, press the power button a few times.
Discharge the capacitance?
Exactly.
Okay, that's a smart move.
So make sure you discharge all the electricity, and then you can go ahead and try to bend those pins back.
Gently bend it.
Gently, very gently.
It might happen, but if you try it too many times, it'll snap off, and then you're in trouble.
And do it very slowly because those pins are easy to break.
All right, Jordan?
All right, thank you.
Good luck. We appreciate the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is 1-for-1 here, batting 1,000. Let's go to Kathy in Utica. Kathy, you're next.
Hi. I'm a late middle-aged woman who uses her computer for email, internet searches, and also paying bills. Recently, I attended a lecture given by Chris Mather about cybersecurity, and I became aware of something called VPN, Virtual Private Network.
Yeah.
And in the talk, I really have developed a more heightened awareness of cyber attacks from emanating from countries, crime groups, and even private individuals. So my question is, what is your opinion about an average user such as myself with the uses that I mentioned using a VPN or purchasing virtual private network? And what applications, what situations are there in which you would recommend using VPN?
Great question. Yeah.
That is a great question. Hi, Kathy. The VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. So what that does is it encrypts your traffic between your computer and the server that's providing you with the VPN connection. Typically, the usage for that is at a corporate enterprise level, where they don't want data to be traversing on the internet without encryption. On a personal basis, there are fewer reasons to use a VPN. What I will recommend instead is just get a reliable anti spyware, antivirus software on your computer, such as Norton 360, McAfee, you know, Trend Micro. All of these are good software to have. VPNs are typically not used by home users. Hmm. If you are considering using that, there are several vendors out there that provide free VPN services, but it does slow down your internet connection
a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, and sometimes you can see a sizable change in the internet speed by using a VPN.
Make sure you have a firewall as well. That's huge.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah. Do not ever plug in your computer to the internet directly. Make sure you get at least an over-the-counter router from Best Buy or somewhere, and use that as your first layer of protection.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Right.
Thank you for listening, Kathy, and we appreciate hearing from you in Utica. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Tony Yang from Gig Computers, and we try to tackle your computer issues today on this program. We go over to Steve in Albany. Steve, you're on.
Hi, Ray and Tony.
Hey, Steve.
I've got a question that's also about security. We've been getting what I think is a fairly sophisticated set of spam calls about something wrong on our computer, and it says I've been ignoring some message. But my question really is, how do I find out whether something is coming from Microsoft? Things sometimes appear on the computer. You think they're coming from Microsoft. How do you know?
I know. It is confusing, isn't it, Steve? I mean, this is a problem that lots of people go through. I get that sometimes on my computer. And I'm not sure where the source is. Haven't had time to look into it, but I know exactly what you're saying. I can tell you that more than likely, I would say better than 99% chance, if you get a call on your phone, from somebody claiming to be from Microsoft, it is a spam call. They're just trying to get you to provide them with information that you shouldn't be giving them.
And Apple's been doing this recently, too. Not Apple, but robocalls purportedly from Apple saying there are security issues with your iCloud.
That's right.
And I've heard them, you know.
And they've gotten as sophisticated as having the message pop up on your computer and then following up with a phone call. So you really now think it's legitimate, but it's not. I have not heard of Microsoft calling anybody individually, ever, for all these years. So if you get a pop-up on your computer claiming to be Microsoft or one of these companies that will help you to remove spyware or spamware from your computer, these are all not legitimate. And I would strongly discourage you from clicking on it or answering the phone or giving them any information.
Exactly. And I think the first line of reaction there, Steve, is to do a complete virus scan on your computer and just clear that puppy out. Number one.
We do have Norton 360, and it's telling me that we're clean.
Yep, so that's good. Make sure you get the virus definitions updated as often as you can. Usually on a daily basis, they'll have updates for you. Other than that, be vigilant and not take these phone calls or click on the messages on your computer.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. You know, one thing I did on my computer, my software, recently, just, I don't know why I did it, but it offered the option to do a boot up scan, like a pre-Windows loading scan.
Yep.
It caught something.
It did.
It did.
Yep.
It's not a bad idea to do that once in a while.
That's right. That's a great suggestion, actually. These boot sector viruses are only active during computer boot ups.
Yep.
You do want to do one of these boot up scan processes. The viruses that tend to be the boot sector viruses are not as terrible as the ones that might infect you in Windows, but still do a scan.
And at least in my commercially available antivirus, and I'm sure in many other brands as well, that particular scan is not one that is done routinely, so you sort of have to look for it in your software and say, oh yeah, do this.
That's right. There usually is an option for you to do a boot startup virus scan. And yes, Ray, that's a good suggestion. We want to encourage people to do that once in a while.
Every so often. Tony Yang is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Nina in Warwick. Nina, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd just like to ask your opinion, please. I have a Toshiba laptop, and it wasn't charging, so I assumed it was the, my charger, and I brought it into someone to look at it, and they tried a new charger. They said it wasn't the charger, it was the port. And they said, being that this type of computer I had, it would cost $250 because they'd have to replace the motherboard also.
No.
And, you know, he was trying to sell me another computer, so I just want to know, is that something that you think could be correct, or was he just trying to sell me something else?
Hey, Nina, how old is your Toshiba laptop?
2 years.
2 years.
Not too old.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Usually, you know, when you get to the five-year range, we typically will recommend you to purchase another computer. But if it's only 2 years old, the power port that's on the motherboard, that can be replaced fairly inexpensively. The part generally runs for about $20-$30 and maybe an hour of labor. But if they're saying that it's the entire board that's going bad, then you might want to, you know, think about replacing that computer, because those motherboards are expensive.
He didn't say that the motherboard was bad. He said it's all connected, and in order to you can't just replace the port, you have to replace both. Does that sound like it could be true? Or
okay, so that actually is not true. The power port on the motherboard is a module. It's a modular unit. It is soldered onto the motherboard,
but you can
desolder it, and we solder a new unit onto it. So that is incorrect.
So it takes a little labor to do it, and a little skill with a soldering iron and unsoldering, but it can be done.
So
Nina,
I should go to someone else then.
You might want to get a second opinion. Might not be a bad idea. Hey, we got to take a break here. 800-348-2551, the number. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here. Computers on today's Vox Pop. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarriers and fabricators, used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. 20 Railroad Public House, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, providing local and seasonably inspired pub fare using antibiotic and added hormone-free meats, local produce, craft beer, cocktails, and wine, 20railroad.com. Rhinebeck Artishops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, amherstcopy.com. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Tony Yang is our guest. We talk computers on the program today, and the number is 800-348-2551. Still one or two open lines here, and we do try to blast through the calls as quickly as possible, and we'll try to get to yours. This one came in via email, Tony, and it's from Chris in Hillsdale, who says, at present, we can only access the Internet via DSL through the phone company. Still, we get on average 11 to 12 megabytes per second, which is totally adequate for email, surfing, and streaming. We do watch a lot of Apple TV. Now the cable company wants to sell me a line that will provide me with 50 or 100 megabytes per second connection, and I can't understand why I would want that. I don't do gaming and anything that chews up a huge amount of bandwidth. Any thoughts?
Chris, the DSL is what's considered the first generation high-speed internet access. Cable will give you at this point, I think they give you 100 megs down. So it's at least 10 times faster than what you got now. If you use it to watch TV, such as Apple TV or Netflix, maybe one of these days, you're going to be much better off on a Time Warner or Spectrum connection versus a DSL.
Or whatever cable company's down there,
Yeah.
Well, you know, you do what you can, but...
I mean, I don't know what the cost difference is, but if the cost is the same, coax internet connection is much better.
It's always, you know, with me, it's always more bandwidth. Sure, like more bandwidth. Yeah,
can't have enough.
All right, of course, we have a lot of people on devices in my house, and the more devices you have, the more bandwidth you're going to eat up all the time. Three Netflix connections at one time, and bye-bye bandwidth. Let's go to Leslie in Germantown. Leslie, you're on.
Oh, hi. I had a question, maybe two questions if there's time. My computer it's suddenly the mouse and the keyboard stopped working, and it seems to only be in mouse. Like if I try to enter the boot menu, everything... You know, the keyboard will work fine, but when I'm in Windows itself, neither one does anything.
Huh. Leslie, that sounds more like a driver problem in Windows. Because if it works during the boot process, then your keyboard and mouse are basically okay. The simplest thing for you to try would be to unplug that and try different port. I'm assuming they're USB devices. Try different USB jacks on your computer and see if that makes a difference. If not, you can try removing the drivers for the mouse and keyboard and have it redetect it. Hopefully that will take care of it for you.
Yeah, the problem is that I can't really do anything because there's no mouse and no keyboard.
Okay, so a little trickier. Here's what you do. Get it boot into the Windows safe mode.
That's right, Windows safe mode. And then what is it, F4? Or how do you do that?
F8, generally.
So when you start the computer then, Leslie, you have to hold the F8 button?
That's right. Just don't hold it. Just keep hitting it.
Okay.
On and off, and hopefully that will get you the safe mode menu. And in safe mode, what it gives you is it gives you the basic Windows driver. Nothing sophisticated, just enough for you to get the devices working. And then you can play around with the computer afterwards, such as unloading the driver. And then we boot it, and then we detect it. Hopefully that will get you going.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Can I ask another quick question?
Mm-hmm.
My parents recently came to my house and said that they had gotten a virus from my wireless router and that they were no longer willing to get onto my wireless router. Is that something that's possible, and what can I do to keep that from happening?
An infection on your computer could sometimes disable your mouse and keyboard. So it's a possibility. Again, if you get into your safe mode, you can do a virus scan using whatever antivirus.
No, this was a separate question. I think Leslie said that her parents or somebody came to the house and said they got a virus from her wireless router. Is that possible?
Oh yes. No, that's, as far as I know, that's not possible. Wireless routers are not... are not infectable, so they don't catch viruses on their own.
Usually, not that we know of.
Not that we know.
The Russians are probably working on that right now. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
That would be a real bad thing because that could cause a lot of problems. But as far as I know, as far as we know, in the industry, there is no virus that affects the router itself.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Tony Yang is our guest, and we go to Jim in Skodak. Jim.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't recommend anybody, but over the years, I'm going to say the last 3 or 4 years, my computer's been hacked. I know this because I have people that protect my computer. They go in, and who's ever doing it is systematically shutting my programs down. So I got rid of those people, got another brand name person. Now I'm having different problems. How could you trust who's... you're having to protect your computer, I guess, is the number one question. And I do have a mouse problem, just like that other lady. My mouse works only when I'm running my computer. I have to pull the USB out, let it sit about 20 seconds, plug it in, and it works fine for the rest of the time that I'm online. Shut my computer down and go back on, and it won't work either.
Hmm.
Well, for the mouse issue, try the same prescription that we just gave to Leslie. As far as your hacking situation is concerned, there are lots of good people, good companies out there that can help you with that. The most important thing is to make sure you have a strong antivirus software on your computer running. So, you know, names again, like Norton and McAfee, Trend Micro, are all good softwares out there that can protect you from getting hacked. If you're getting hacked...
Right. Now, all the people, some of the ones that you just mentioned is who I have now. Mm. They're always installing software. They're always telling me that, you know, upgrade your firewall, malware, everything, and people are still getting in. I don't understand. They don't understand how they're getting in. I change my passwords, and you can tell they're getting in because either the systematic shutdown of programs or now what my computer's doing is I shut it off. I come back 2 hours later, and it's back on. And yet my Wi-Fi is off. So yeah. Somebody's got to be in there somehow.
Ray, do you remember what you were saying before those
do boost sector
the boot sector viruses?
Yeah, you could try that.
Jim, enable a boot sector scanning of your in your antivirus software and see if that finds anything.
That's a good thing to do.
Yeah. You got an unusual situation. Maybe you know get some professional help would be in order.
Yeah, that sounds like
for this type of situation.
Yeah, that's a thorny one there, Jim. Mm. Well, good luck. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go over to Phil in Pequog. Phil, you're on.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to respond to the gentleman that called earlier about the phone calls from Microsoft, quote unquote. I used to get those fairly regularly, and I always thanked them profusely for their concern, and then asked them which one of my 17 computers they're talking about. It stumps them.
Yeah,
I like that, Phil.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Yeah, appreciate the call. And let's see who's been waiting the longest. Let's go on over to Tom in Springfield. Tom, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. The question I've got is on internet browsers. I'm just wondering which is, in your opinion, the safest, most secure browser. And the reason I ask is I'm a Chrome user. I've been using Google Chrome for a number of years, but I got a new computer recently with Windows 10, and right away they hooked me up with Edge. So I'm looking at Microsoft Edge, and the first thing I get is one of those messages, something's wrong with your computer. You need to click here right now. And I'm like, what? And I just shut that off and went back to using Chrome. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Tom, we recommend usually either Chrome or Firefox. Mm. Both are good.
But
just make sure you continue to do the updates on the browser software itself.
Yeah.
And I used Firefox, that Thunderbird browser, for a couple of years when I had a business I was running because I heard at the time that was a very secure browser.
Yep. Thunderbird is another good browser out there. The Chrome, like I said, for most of our corporate customers, we are probably split between Chrome and Firefox.
Yeah. I like Chrome. It seems to work very well.
Very well.
Yeah.
Because it is built on Java natively, so it does a very, very good job with most web pages out there.
Although I will say this about Edge, it seems to be a major step up over the old browser.
It is.
I've tried it a few times.
It is. Edge is a huge upgrade. I think for us, you know, just the past experience.
Yeah, a little leery. Yeah.
With Microsoft browsers have put us on Edge, and so we're trying to stay away from it.
Well, one other thing along the same line is, what do you think about Windows Defender and Windows Microsoft Security Essentials?
The Microsoft Security Essentials. I didn't hear the first part.
What do you think about Windows Defender and Microsoft Security Essentials?
Both are great pieces of defensive software.
Okay.
Use it if you don't have a commercial version of software out there. Those are great built-in software that will give you a pretty good level of protection.
Okay, Tom. Thanks a lot for the call. All right, quickly before we take the next call, let's talk about something that has annoyed me greatly over the years and perplexed me. Let's talk about the two firewall system. In other words, you have Windows Defender on. You don't realize it. They got a firewall, but you also have a commercial firewall that you bought.
Yep.
And suddenly you have both on. What can happen, and is it a problem?
That is debatable, whether or not it's a problem. What I have noticed is it does slow down your computer.
Yeah.
Because you got both things running. So every single time you click on something, that file is getting scanned twice.
Yeah.
Most of the commercial software out there will tell you that your Microsoft Defender is on,
yeah,
and it will want to disable it or uninstall it. So if you know you got both running, you probably, I think, be better off with running just one of them.
Yeah,
Defender is good, but it's not as good as some of the more commercially available software out there.
All right, very good. Tony Yang is our guest, and the number is 800-348-2551. Over to Bill in New Paltz. Bill, you're on.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Hi, Bill.
I'm calling. What happened to me? I have a Mac. It is very old. And I got a message, your computer's infected, call this number. So this was a little while ago. I gullibly called the number. The guy called, tells me my computer's infected. I need a security service, something. I can't remember the name of it right off, but, that would protect the computer. With a Mac, I thought I was safe, but the thing that really got me was, initially, I said, well, it sounds like it would be good protection, and then they hit me with another figure, which was much, much higher than the initial cost, and when I told the guy, I said, well, I can't commit to that, right now, I don't have that much money, readily on hand. He comes back and tells me, you can afford it. We checked your credit card balance.
Oh, jeez. Yep.
This blew my mind because I hadn't said anything. And then they kept hassling me, well, don't ask questions, just say yes.
Oh, brother.
And that got me ticked off.
Yeah.
Thank God. But that was... I could not understand how they were able to tap into my bank account balance or something. It sounded like they were in some sort of a boiler room in, Pakistan or something. I'm not trying to throw aspersions, but that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, Bill, you're probably dealing with two scenarios. One is they actually did hack into your bank account, or they're just saying it.
Yeah.
That's
more likely.
Yeah, they got a 50-50 shot at being correct. I do want to clarify, and this is important to probably educate computer users on. Macs are just as susceptible to viruses as PCs out there.
The conventional wisdom was, you had a Mac, you didn't have an issue.
Yeah. That's a misconception, because the reason why Macs are not... don't get as much news out there is because it's got a very, very small percentage of computers in the world. So you hear so much less about Macs getting hacked, but they are hackable, just like any other computer out there. The security on those is probably just a bit better, but you need protection on those computers just like any other device out there.
Okay.
So please take care of your Macs, Mac users.
Thanks for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is on to answer your computer questions today. Dave in Cohoes. Dave, you're next.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Dave.
So, I like what you just said about Apple not being any more secure than Microsoft, but that's not why I'm calling.
Okay.
My wife has a Samsung Galaxy tablet, and like all these devices, it wants to do periodic updates of software. And it's gotten to the point where every time it tries to do an update now, it says she doesn't have enough space to do the update.
Yeah.
And we've deleted every single thing that we can delete. And, it's like the built-in apps are taking 97% of the 16 gigabytes of space that it has.
Yeah, man. Yep, I hear you.
Is there a way to get rid of some of the bundled-in apps that you don't want?
Yeah,
You can't. So many of these things you can't. You try to. I have this problem with my daughter's tablets too. Yeah. They're cheap. They're RCA tablets, or I don't know what brand they are, but they're cheap. And it's. I try to take out these things that they don't use. Oh, do you want to roll back to an earlier version? No, I want to get rid of them.
Yeah, you know, a lot. Often it's because of pictures and videos that you take. If that's not the source of your problem,
that's not it.
On there, she
that's yeah. not it.
Any pictures, any video on. She's got an SD card in there, and we've moved as much to the SD card as we could. There's a lot of room on the SD card, but the 16 gig of built-in memory.
Yeah,
there's only 400 megabytes left.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, that's why when I buy one of these devices, I try to get the most amount of internal memory that I can get, because you're going to run out.
Absolutely. One thing, Dave, you can do, and this is only a stopgap, go into each app, and it takes, every time my daughters want to get a new app, I have to do this. I got to go in, remove the temp files from each app and all of the data from each app, and then you can clear up enough space to get the next app. That's basically how I do it.
I've actually done that.
Yeah,
I've actually done that. And what it's trying to do right now is an OS update, and it just doesn't have enough room to do it.
Yeah. You're going to have to remove one or more of the apps and you know, look at the storage manager and see which one is taking the most amount of space.
Yeah, done that.
You know, or pull a Hillary Clinton and take a hammer to the thing. I mean, that's the other option.
Believe me, I've thought about that.
Well, good
Dave,
luck.
Yeah, got no magic pills for you.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. We'll take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers, wines, and cocktails. Live music every Friday. ChesterCommonTable.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors. Serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, providing commercial casework, custom display solutions, and interactive exhibits for special events, permanent museum installations, and trade shows nationwide. EmpireExhibits.com. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repairs, including tire pressure, exhaust, brakes, and checking engine lights. Full-service gas station, CollegeStreetMotors.com. New Scotland Physical Therapy, Slingerlands, New York, providing orthopedic, neurologic, and pediatric therapy services, now offering fitness memberships, newscotlandphysicaltherapy.com. And State Street Fruit Store, Deli, Wines, and Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned, community-minded grocery and specialty food store since 1922. Wine tastings every Friday, 4 to 7, statestreetfruit.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Tony Yang is our guest today. And, oh, Tony, it's like you're a Santa Claus. You're the most popular man on earth here. We have they're lining up outside the store.
I am honored.
All right, so let's do a couple of emails and then back to the phones, and we'll take as many calls as we can here in the home stretch. This one's from Nancy, and the questions. We have several laptops and computers that we no longer use. Two questions. How do we clean the data from them? And two, what are some recycling options?
Most recycling places, there are these electronic recycling places. If you just go onto Google and search it up, it will pop up with a list of them, I'm sure, around your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them will actually provide you with the data erasing service.
Okay.
So it will completely and permanently erase the data off your drives for you. If you don't find a place to do that for you, you can download many different types of freeware on the internet that will wipe these hard drives out for you.
And then recycling, can you take them somewhere? Or
Yep. I mean, the huge place up here is Elot. That's where we give a lot of our pellets full of PCs all the time.
But it's good to completely wipe them before giving them away.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, and this one's from John. I use Norton and the Kaspersky Security Suite on my computer, as well as an updated firewall on my router. Would it be beneficial to also use a physical firewall? This is on a home network with confidential data traffic for a home office. A physical firewall.
Well, you got the router. That's generally what people view as the physical firewall. That gives you that first layer of protection. If you want to go a step beyond that, you can get a firewall that has a what's called a proxy server built into it. So it will actually inspect all the traffic, you know, computer codes line by line before it hits your computer. That normally isn't used at home. Instead, it's used at an enterprise environment. But if you're looking for an extra layer of protection, that's the area that you want to go to.
Okay, and then let's just do one more here via email from Sherry. I don't even know what I'm reading here. My husband wants to get us Pi computer, PI. Have you ever heard these things?
Oh yes, Raspberry Pis. Yes.
We already have an HDMI screen to hook it up to. What do you think about the Pi computer? What is a Pi computer first?
Okay, so Raspberry Pi has become very, very popular because it's inexpensive.
Okay.
And you can put the whole unit together yourself.
Okay.
So usually you will get them in these individual parts and just plug them in.
Okay.
It usually runs Android. If you're using it for watching TV, great. Mm-hmm. It's inexpensive. You can usually get the entire unit for about $100.
Okay.
Good device to use for multimedia purposes.
All righty. Let's see. Let's go back to the phones here. Emily in Shelburne Falls is next. Emily.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. I have a, I don't know. I have this, a Mac. I'm sorry. I was distracted with the doing something, and now I have to focus on
that's okay.
talking to you.
We have time.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I have trouble, Ray, at the end of the round table once for the live video.
Oh, okay.
I get it during the whole round table with, you know, the an hour and 40 minutes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I don't get it, but I get you now.
Okay.
I have you on live video. So I wrote in, and Ashley sent me a link, and I tried to do this, but I'm not very computer savvy. I'm more than middle aged.
we're waving at you right now on the video.
More than emails and et cetera.
Okay, so the question is: are you seeing anything after the roundtable panel ends? Are you seeing a screen that says you're listening to the roundtable or some odd thing like
right.
that?
Okay. I see that.
You are actually seeing the same stream. What happens is, once the panel is done, if it's a pre-recorded segment or something else, or oftentimes they will just go to what they call a slide, and it'll say something.
Right.
Your stream is actually functioning just fine. It's just there's nothing to see. Right now you can see Tony and me, and we're waving at you right now.
I always wonder if we were live.
I'll feel better soon.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, anyway, that's the deal. So your stream is working just fine, Emily.
Even BookPix is all pre-taped now?
No, it could be that, in fact, the engineer at the board, who's also doing all the audio and the radio, is not switching back to live camera because that's another thing to do. But, we do what we can as a public radio station. We try.
So my next quick question is, how often does one get your Mac or your computer cleaned?
Cleaned.
Whatever the right words are here, I'm sorry.
You mean cleaning out temp files or viruses or what?
Well, sometimes when I go to my email, I get the little round rainbow thing that goes around and around and around, and it doesn't let me do anything. It doesn't let me write anything, and I just don't know how often does one get your... See, I'm really, really ignorant.
You sound like you're on the right track.
Yeah, that's okay, Emily. The we recommend usually scanning your PC at least once a month.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I think it's also good to get rid of some of those temp files, too, because they'll slow you down.
Oh, yes.
And
your temp files.
Cookies and whatnot. Clear them out every once in a while, and you'll find that things speed up.
Okay. Thank you. I'll go to my computer.
Thanks for watching, Emily. We appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551. There's one person, Tony, who watches on the video.
I didn't know. I always wondered.
Yeah, every now and then you get an email saying, oh, the lighting's terrible.
It's like, okay.
I got a plan. It's a radio station, all right? Give me a break. All right, let's go to Jerry in Nassau. Jerry, you're on.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Jerry.
All right, I'll try to be quick. I inherited both an iPad and a Mac or Apple desktop from my mom, where it's all built into the one unit, the monitor is the whole computer.
Yeah.
I've been able to use the iPad for 3 years probably without – we didn't know her password. I haven't been able to update anything. I cannot believe – I usually use it mostly for emails and streaming music and web searches, so I don't use it for a whole lot, but I can't believe it kept working. Well, now – I've got to do some updates, and I can't because I don't know my mom's password. Basically, I'm looking because my sister, who should really know Apple computers well, said, oh, well, the desktop's no good anymore. And somebody else turned it on and got it running, somebody else that knows Apple. I know nothing. They said, oh, no, you can get this working. So I'm really looking for a place that in the Capital District that is not going to charge me an arm and a leg. Is not going to try and sell me a new unit if I really don't need one. I'm sure I can get the iPad wiped off and start from scratch with that. I'm pretty sure about that. But somebody could evaluate the desktop and see if it is obsolete or restorable or usable.
I would suggest you look around and ask people. We don't really refer people to specific businesses, but in general, is there a way to actually get into that? If he doesn't know the password of his mother's password, or do you just have to start from scratch and wipe the whole thing?
Yeah, iPads are tough.
Yeah.
There's a pretty strong security built into those. Desktops are a little bit different, especially the older Macs are easier to hack than the new ones.
Oh, really? So you have to hack it to do it?
The new ones are Linux-based, and it's not so simple to mess around with that.
Oh, boy.
Like you said, you can find places that will take those in and probably give you a free evaluation, and they can recycle it for you.
All right. Well, Jerry, good luck with that. Our number is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Colin in Port Ewan. Colin, you're on.
Hey, man, what's up? It's my first time calling.
Okay,
Colin.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Hey, I have like a motherboard-related question. A year ago, I had an Asus. Or an Asus, however you want to say it, a desktop that I bought in 2008. And I was using a wireless NIC that I put in the PCI Express slot in the motherboard. And the next couple of days, it would turn on. I wouldn't be able to enter the boot menu or the BIOS menu. And it would just say that it couldn't find a bootable drive, reload, and press any key to continue. So I took the CMOS battery out of the motherboard to reset it. I got into the BIOS menu and changed the boot order, and it's still doing the same thing.
Huh. Did you save your changes?
Yes.
Yeah, it could possibly be a coincidence that the drive... die at the same time.
Wow!
I will take that wireless NIC out and see if that that changes.
What's a wireless NIC?
That's the wireless network interface card.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which we generally don't recommend using if you're using a desktop. A hardwired one is much better. But take that whatever device you added on there. Take those devices out and give it another shot. But it could be it sounds to me like you did all the right things to diagnose it. It could be that drive is defective.
Wow, I mean, coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah, no, me neither. But this is one of those cases.
All right.
Where,
well, I guess it could happen.
Yeah, take that drive out and put it on a different computer and see if it works or not.
That's an interesting thing.
All
right. Our number here is 800-348-2551, and let's go on over to Sheila in Rotterdam. Sheila.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I have an HP Pavilion computer laptop, that I have not been on in at least 10 months.
Okay.
And it's to the point now where I'm afraid to turn it on because I'm afraid. I know there's a lot of updates out there.
Yeah.
What's my best method for doing that?
I mean, just turn it on, let it download the updates. You might have to give it an hour or two, a couple of hours, to let it run through all the updates. But you're gonna be fine. Yeah, there's nothing to fear about not having it running for 10 months and then have to do all the updates altogether.
Okay.
It will go through the whole process usually on its own, and you just got to give it some time to process.
Okay. I was afraid of a virus sneaking in before I could do the updates.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going to be fine, Sheila.
All right, Sheila. Thank you very much. Bye. Over to Vicki in Pittsfield, Mass. Vicki, you're on.
Hi. I'm not sure if you can answer my question, but I'm just wondering, I've heard a lot about Roku versus cable TV, and I'm wondering if there's any particular advantage to Roku as opposed to the cable. Or
well,
if
that's really not his, I mean, I'm sure you have opinions, Tony, but be careful.
Roku is less expensive if you're looking at it, from a cost factor. It is definitely less expensive, but it doesn't have the same content as cable TV. So it's a personal call.
I think you really have to investigate if it's a fit for what you want to watch, and of course you'll need a good, robust internet connection anyway.
Yep.
Usually the cable company has you for that.
That's right. Yeah,
they got you either way.
Yep.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Computers Today with Tony Yang, and I think a record number of calls we have gotten through today.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bonnie in Hurleyville. Bonnie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a quick question about internet service providers. Mm-hmm. I live very rurally. My only options are either broadband or satellite as far as providers go. I currently have broadband, and my download speeds, although they advertise up to 3, I have never been higher than 1.7, and over the weekend I was like 0.39. I've spent a couple hours on the phone speaking with them, and they said, well, we only advertise up to 3. So my only other option would be satellite, and I was wondering if you have any opinion on basically the cons of switching over to satellite.
Have you ever used satellite internet connection, Tony?
Oh, yes.
I've never tried that.
Many years ago. Unfortunately, some of these areas out there, you don't have a choice but to get satellite. Satellite internet access tend to be very, very slow.
Yeah.
I've never seen it more than a couple of megs at its max speed. So you're going to be better off using a DSL line if you can get the DSL.
Even if it's a long run on the DSL, and that sounds like what Bonnie has.
Yep. It's still
I can't even download my updates.
Yep, you're still going to be better
it just
off.
Buffers.
Yeah, you're still going to be better off on DSL. Because satellite, you're going to get latency, huge amount of latency. So if you're trying to watch video and things like that, it's tough, painful.
Huh? Yeah, okay.
At least on DSL, it's hardwired, so your latency is down to the maybe in the teens or 20, 30 milliseconds. But on satellite connection, it's typically in 100, 120.
I'm losing you, I think.
Okay. Well, I think the upshot here is Tony thinks probably regardless of your DSL connection, it's probably going to be more efficient.
It is, unfortunately.
Sorry to say.
Yeah.
The DSL is more efficient than satellite?
Yes.
Probably.
Generally, most of the time, in all the cases that we've looked at over these years, DSL has always been a better choice.
Okay. Thanks, Bonnie. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. I remember the excitement in my house when it went from 28.8 to 56. My gosh, this is amazing.
Yep.
So those were the days. Dial up. Quickly, let's go over to Raymond in Woodsboro. Raymond, you're on.
How you doing?
Good.
I got a question for Tony. A couple months back, I got a brand new to me AT&T cell phone, and I know about the robocalls. I've been getting calls from somebody with a foreign accent telling me that through the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City and an act that Obama put in
Yeah.
Right after the crash, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
I won $9,000.
Oh, congrats.
No, I was granted $9,000 through some kind of program, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah.
It called me three times already because I keep ignoring it because I've watched a YouTube video about how much of a scam it is.
Yeah.
But they...
I think we lost you. But yeah, we did lose you. But I'll tell you what. Don't pick up the phone.
That's right. Don't answer that. Don't give them any information.
Cell phones now that you get the robocalls too. It's unbelievable. It never stops.
You know, just last week, there was an article about this guy he was the main source of these robocalls.
Yeah.
They fine him like $100 million and he's going to jail for a long, long time. This is a serious problem. So, yeah, if you get those calls, The New York Federal Reserve Bank, they're not going to be calling you.
No, I wish they would call me, you know, give me a couple of grand.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, thanks for being here, my friend. We appreciate it. And
hey,
thanks
that was fun.
To everybody who called. Support comes from Interim Healthcare for 47 years, helping families keep loved ones at home, providing companions aids at nurses in the greater capital region, Columbia and Saratoga counties on Glens Falls. InterimHealthcare.com. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. The Tang Teaching Museum at Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. At Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, featuring We Plan, You Plant Garden Design Service with on-site selection of nursery stock, tree, shrub, perennials, privacy hedges, and installation, whitneysfarm.com. Thanks again to Tony Yang for being with us today. Thank you for listening and for so many calls and so many we didn't get to today, and I apologize for that. Call earlier next time. Thanks again to our engineer, Zach Malloy. All right, thanks for the first time to Zach Malloy. Now that's two, so thanks again. And also thanks to the phones were answered today by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's Realty.